Dr. Show!
You have all made it through the dance. You have all made it.
Coming to you from the X-Access, it's John of All Trades with your host, John X.
Welcome to the John of All Trades podcast, episode 85. I'm your host, John X. Thank you for joining us. Glad to have you back once again. And this week's show is a really, really good one. I'm not particularly, I don't feel one way or the other about cannabis. I'm happy it's legal. I think the legalization experiment has gone well so far by all metrics. Everything that I've read seems to be fairly smashing success. So my interest is in learning more about the culture, learning more about this thing that makes Colorado unique. And that's why on this week's show, I have Goldie Solidar. And Goldie Solidar is the proprietor of City Sessions Denver, and they provide custom cannabis tours for people interested in cannabis culture. In this show, she talks about giving people medical tours, business tours, bachelor parties, people who want to go and experience cannabis culture in Denver. And one of the best things about this episode is how much we talk about the different regulations. She told me about RFID tags that go from seed to sale. So you can track every bud. If something goes wrong, if you get sick, if there's something that happens to you in a negative way, you can trace it back to a specific plant. That's really interesting quality control that I had no knowledge of before talking with Goldie. So Goldie is extraordinarily knowledgeable and an absolute pro in every aspect of this business. And on top of that, she's just a delightful ray of sunshine. And I think that comes across on this episode. So I think you'll really enjoy this week's episode. It's one I'm proud of. I think it's a fun listen. And I think you'll learn a lot. I certainly did. So we'll get to that in a second. But first, like to give a shout to 4Degrees. They are our sponsor once again in 2016 of the John of All Trades podcast. They do web hosting. They do custom website designs. They'll do social media marketing, advertising, anything that you want to do in the digital sphere. They will help you do it better. If you're trying to reach constituents, trying to reach clients, consumers, whoever it is you're trying to reach, their targeting, their strategy, their campaign, their savvy, their expertise, it's basically all you need. And they are fantastic. So check them out. 4Degrees, the number 4, DEGRE.ES, proud sponsors of the John of All Trades podcast once again. So just as a reminder, episode previews are only on Facebook, so like us on Facebook. It's J-O-A-T Pod, search for that on Facebook. We're available on iTunes, Stitcher, rate and review us there. I'd appreciate it very much, and you can always subscribe, get every new episode downloaded to your mobile listening device or your computer, however you enjoy the John of All Trades podcast, both great ways to do it. Everything is housed forever and for free on the John of All Trades website, so JONofAllTrades.us. Let's get to this week's episode. It's number 85. It's Goldie Solidar, head honcho at City Sessions Denver. She calls herself the knower, and I think you'll find out why listening to this week's episode. A lot of knowledge, a lot of expertise, a lot of savvy, and just a pleasant demeanor all the way around. So, episode 85, Goldie Solidar, starts right now.
I'm hoping that when I open this up, it means that I avoid going to the DNV, this envelope here.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure I have to like mail in a check or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that would be preferable. Do you remember that that DMV that used to be in Five Points?
Yep, right on Walton Street.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That one is now a brewery.
That was the worst DMV I've ever been to in my entire life.
It's pretty rough.
I sat there for like a good 2 hours and I was trying to get a driver's license.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we don't do driver's license here. When I got up to the counter, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. This is like hell on earth.
And that one, I mean, anytime you go to a DMV, there's always like the weirdest cast of characters just hanging out in there.
Either they're hanging out or they're trying to get something done, but you know what?
But they're so bad at getting stuff done.
I'm so with you, but the most culture in Denver can be found at the DNV.
Oh, that's, you know what? That's tough but fair.
Totally true.
I was in there and I watched, I love people watching. That's what I do. And person after person was going up and they're like, okay, let's see your license. Let's see your insurance, all this. And no one had the correct stuff. But I'm watching them and judging by the questions that they asked, I go, okay, you know what? I've got this. They're going to ask for this. They're going to ask for this. I had the check already like half filled out. And the guy behind the counter gets up there. He's like, next. And he's just like put upon, just destroyed by life, right? And he goes, let's see your license. I go, here you go, sir. Okay. Proof of insurance. Here you go, sir. Your old registration. Here you go, sir. And he goes, wow. All right. I think I turned his whole day around.
I'm sure you did, because seriously, people will have a meltdown after waiting for 2 hours just to find out that they don't have their insurance with them.
You're right. Exactly. It's brutal. So I'm hopeful that the envelope indicates that you don't have to go in.
I just don't know. I don't know how long I've sat on that envelope. I feel like it's been at least a month. So now it's time to open it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. That's like the sword of Damocles. Good luck.
You know, it's just like, you know this, the life of a self-employed person, like things fall to the bottom of the list, and that would be your mail.
Yeah. And it's crazy just how much there is to do in a day just to keep up with your life, that some of that day-to-day stuff you go, let's see, have I paid the insurance bill yet? Oh, no, I'm way behind on that.
100%. I'm walking around with glasses that are 5 years old that are so scratched. You have no idea, but you need glasses in Colorado, and they have a script in them. Oh, yeah. So I'm like, I really need those glasses. I've had my my script now for 8 months, and I finally ordered a pair of sunglasses. Finally. And I got a confirmation yesterday that they've been shipped. So now I'm going to be able to see clearly in life.
Nice. Yeah. Good for you. And important in what you do.
Very important.
So sitting here with Goldie Soledar, thank you for being on the show and inviting me into your office, which is fantastic. I'm looking right at your weed cart, which is one of the most, like, it's one of the coolest things I've seen. And if you're into weed, like, you'll lose your mind. And so describe for us, Goldie, like what it is you do. Tell me about your business, just absolutely, to kick us off.
Well, John, thanks for interviewing me. And my company is called City Sessions Denver, and we are a cannabis tour company. And what we do is we actually put together custom tour experiences for people who are visiting the state of Colorado and for some people that actually live in the state of Colorado to come experience legal cannabis as well as the great city of Denver and right, the state of Colorado. You know, we're very fortunate here. It's a very good life. And, you know, when people kind of get that local experience, they recognize that we have something very special going on here.
Yeah, 100%. How long have you been at this?
So I have been touring now for a little over a year and a half. And when I say private tours, you know, it can be anywhere from 25 people.
Whoa, 25 people.
25 people. Well, I've done a 17-person bachelor party. That was exciting.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And, you know, it was funny because I had some people that were kind of concerned. They're like, are you going to be able to handle 17 men yourself? And I'm like, yeah, they're getting high.
They're all high. They'll be kidding.
Yeah, they'll be fine. This is like, this is not a rowdy, a rowdy substance, you know?
Yeah, no. Well, and I think about like my own bachelor party. We were in Vegas and we were drinking and the volume really, really went up and sort of, you know, I'm friends with a bunch of sweethearts, but you know, chests start to get puffed out, and that's not really true as much with weed. Is that what you found?
Absolutely. And you know, I just recently had a bachelor party, and they all loaded into the vehicle, which is I actually tore in an Infiniti QX60, and
cool.
It was a really cool trip. But they're like, "This is our Vegas." That's what they said to me, and you know, that made me feel really good because certain places or substances or experiences speak to different people. And we have here in Colorado legal cannabis, which speaks to a great deal of people.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. And it, you know, it's funny because Colorado, it's fully legal. And it's also, where else is it? It's like Oregon,
Washington. And then Washington, D.C. has some kind of weird laws with it being legal but not having anywhere to buy it.
Yeah, like it's legal to possess it, but you can't like sell it and you can't like grow it. It's bizarre.
It's completely bizarre.
Huh. I mean, Washington and Oregon, I would say those are also sort of tourist destinations. Have you found that more people are coming here compared to those places, or is that something that you're even really exposed to?
Yeah, so I know that Colorado is the mecca of cannabis. This is where it started. Our regulations here are being dialed in daily.
Right.
So we're doing it very right. And we rolled it out in a way that, you know, we have more dispensaries than we have Starbucks in the state of Colorado.
Right.
You know, and they're functioning and, you know, the city didn't burn down, which I think was a big fear for a lot of people.
Sure.
But Washington's starting to pick up. I get a lot of feedback from my guests that go to Washington that they can't find dispensaries.
Hmm.
They exist, but they can't find them. And they're limited in the number. So there's long lines when they eventually do find them. I'm not quite sure what the whole scene looks like in Oregon.
Yeah.
But I would definitely be interested in taking a trip to both places to see what they have going on.
Sure. Yeah. Just to compare the culture. You mentioned regulations. I mean, they're getting dialed in daily. Have you found the regulations to be sort of thoughtfully put together, or like what holes do you see working in this industry firsthand?
I appreciate the regulations. You know, I think that we may be the most regulated industry in the country. And if that's what needs to happen in order to be able to supply this product to our society, that's fine.
Right. Except for maybe industrial activities like coal mining or something. But
exactly. Exactly.
But as far as, you know, recreational activities, I'd be inclined to agree with you.
Yeah. You know, what happened here from the start, our first big regulation was that a dispensary had to grow 70% of their own product.
Okay.
So we have this really interesting vertically integrated model. You know, we've had a wholesale market pass since and stuff, but I like that. You know where you're getting your product from, you know where it's growing from. You know, we also have labels and tags. So each plant that actually is potted has to be tagged with a radioactive frequency tag. It's an RFID tag that's issued by the state. And that tag follows the plant until it gets sold on the shelf. So if anything ever goes wrong with the flower that you smoke, you get sick or whatever may happen, you can actually look on your bottle or bag of cannabis that you purchase and it can be tracked back to that seed.
Interesting. So it's like a really thorough quality control sort of regulation. Is that right?
It's a seed to sale regulatory system. And it's also the state's way to make sure that 5 pounds don't go out the back door.
Oh, right.
Because everything gets inputted into a computer that gets sent off to the state. So, you know, very regulated, a lot of eyeballs on this business. And then not to mention when you go into a dispensary or into a grow, the entire place has cameras everywhere and they have to be a certain amount of feet from one another. So,
wow.
The state can come in and pull 40 days of footage from you at any given time.
From cameras that are spaced to very specific requirements.
That's correct.
Wow. So you've been into, I imagine, countless dispensaries and grow houses. I've never been to a grow house. Can you describe for me sort of what it's like? And for anyone listening who's never been, I think it would be valuable to just sort of hear what it's like inside a grow house.
Absolutely. So I actually frequent a few different grows, and one in particular, I just love the whole culture. Everyone loves their job in there. You know, they're growing weed and there's good music playing. But the way it kind of is set up, typically there's a mother garden, and the mother garden is where the genetics are. So these dispensaries here in Colorado will grow different genetics to supply their shelves. A lot of people got really ambitious here in the market. Some dispensaries grow up to 70 different strains, mm-hmm. which gives you a variety of being able to try many different types of strains. But basically, these mothers are going to be under 24 hours of lights. So they're always going to be in a phase that we call vegging, the veg stage.
Okay.
So they're never going to actually flower out with buds. But what you do is you take a clone from these mothers, and then you put a little rooting agent on it, and they go into a cloner bin, and then they'll eventually root. So basically, you're maintaining that strong genetic profile. Then once they root, after about 2 weeks, they're going to get potted, and they're going to get issued an RFID tag.
Okay, gotcha.
Then they're going to continue living under 24 hours of lights. Some grows do it differently, 18 hours on, 6 hours off. But, you know, 24 hours of lights, and then in this stage, they're going to grow. They're just going to get bigger. They're going to get bushier. There's a process called topping, which will make the plant split. So there'll be more actual buds. And then in about 5 to 6 weeks of living in this vegetative stage, you switch them into the flower rooms. And that's where they'll live out their life. So a plant will actually flower when you switch the light cycle and you start tricking it that it's fall.
Okay.
Yep. So you start switching the light cycle to 12 hours of lights on, 12 hours of lights off, and this actually will produce the actual buds. We call it flowering. So here in Colorado, we have a bunch of new cultural terms that are coming up. So we have bud tenders that will service you behind the counter, and we call the bud flower. You can still call it bud,
sure,
but the plant will flower off. So they'll live out in this room for 9 weeks, sometimes 10, and then they'll get cut down, and then they'll get dried, and then a process called curing, which really brings out the flavor and the smell.
Okay. Wow. So, and how many people in this grow house that you frequent that has a good culture that you like, how many people are in there, like, you know, on an average work day?
So working back of the house, I would say somewhere between 14 and 16 people.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And everyone has their own roles. It's very interesting. There's actually someone back there that are packing 1 gram joints.
Okay.
We call them pre-rolls.
Right.
And they're putting together grams and eighths, you know? So it's like, I call that person a weed pharmacist.
Right.
You
it's
know?
Cute.
It's great, you know? And then there's people that are there to, like, water and just, there's eyeballs on every single plant at every single day,
okay,
you know, to ensure that they're growing well and that there's not anything going wrong and they're not getting stressed out.
Okay. I mean, you mentioned the cameras, but one would assume that there's a high degree of security around grow houses. Is that accurate?
Yeah, you know, I think that when this industry first started, everyone was on high alert, you know?
Yeah.
People were afraid to get robbed and stuff. I don't see as high of a level of security anymore.
Okay.
People, we have this whole process really dialed in. There's always a person, a gatekeeper at the front of a dispensary to check IDs, because you have to be 21 years of age and you have to have a valid ID in order to get into a dispensary. There's security systems and stuff set up. So,
sure,
you know, I rarely hear about a grow getting robbed at this point. Okay. Every so often I hear about a dispensary getting robbed.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, that's the nature of any kind of business, I guess you would say.
Yeah. I mean, what type of business hasn't been robbed, I suppose. So two things that I'm sort of struck by. One, I had an Uber driver who, just apropos of nothing, he really wanted to talk about weed. And, we were talking about the artisan culture of Colorado, and listening to you talk about the genetics, he delved into how Colorado is really at the forefront of sort of coming up with new strains and new applications and new ways of doing things. And what we compared it to was the artisan coffee movement, mm-hmm, and the artisan brewing movement. So, like, craft beering, would you call it like craft weed? I mean, is that fair?
You know, I like that. Yeah, I guess that is pretty fair. I see a few issues with so many genetics on the market. People sometimes want to go in and get that same craft beer and it might not be available.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if you ask, like, hey, I really like Tangy, they will be able to say, oh, well, here's our tangerine haze, and it's a tangy cross. So you'll achieve a similar effect, but you'll also achieve another effect from a different strain.
Okay.
I mean, I think breeding is really cool. I think breeding is really cool. It gives you an opportunity to check out different strains and stuff like that and see what you really enjoy.
Right.
Have a new experience every time.
You know, the other thing that he mentioned was growing weed is harder than people want to give it credit for. People outside the industry anyway. And what you were describing, I mean, you're talking about agriculture at its base, right?
Absolutely.
Huh.
You know, I think that when you really think about what's happened in this industry, people used to grow in their basements.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's a true culture that exists. It has existed for a very long time. And when you make the shift into a commercial setting, there's a lot to manage.
Yeah.
Especially with, you know, powdery mildew and molds and mites that you're trying to manage in a big setting where people are walking in and out. So, yeah, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of forecasting as well to make sure that you supply your shelf.
Right.
And yeah, it's definitely agriculture. It's a full on operation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of regulations, one of the things that is interesting to me is dispensaries. And from what I understand, you know, anyone associated with the marijuana industry has to do business in cash, right? Is that true for you? Do you have to do business in cash?
I do not have to do business in cash.
Okay.
I don't actually sell product.
Oh, right. Okay.
I'm just selling a service. So, so in essence, I am just a tour company.
Okay. Right.
You know, and my company's called City Sessions. So there's nothing marijuana related in my name.
Okay. Yeah. But people sort of know what to expect when they book a service like yours, right?
Absolutely. You know, in terms of my service, people, we have a lot of competition on the market here. You know, there's a lot of different tour companies that offer different experiences.
Yeah.
I would say the majority of my guests that actually find me and come on this experience really do their research.
Okay, good.
You know, and they're seeking out more than cannabis usually. But, you know, I also have people that come in that want to do like medical marijuana relief tours, you know, to try to figure out strains that help with a specific ailment that they're dealing with. Or, you know, investor tours, people that really want to get really deep into the industry.
They want to know the business, yeah.
The business side. So I do a bunch of different types of tours, and I think that people that are looking through and actually diving in, they tend to find me for the actual experience, that's the custom experience that they're looking for.
Okay, I gotcha. Doing this for a year and a half, what would you say has changed over that time?
Nothing.
It's pretty much the same.
I know that sounds interesting to say it like that, but you know, marijuana doesn't discriminate. Right. So I see all sorts of different people come in, and it's always new. And, you know, I mean, other than the fact that, you know, I'm seeing the same people, the only thing that's really changed in the market are regulations and new product lines that keep on rolling out. And the product lines that are rolling out are really cool, and they give people an opportunity to kind of see what works for their body chemistry best, whether it be edibles, the flower, or concentrates.
Sure.
So for me, I'm in a very unique position. I get to see people come in for the first time and have their first experience with this vast product line.
Right.
You know, and there's something very special about that.
Yeah. I mean, that's gotta be fun to watch, you know, people sort of opening up to a new experience, whatever that is. And I mean, if you're coming here to experience cannabis culture, you clearly have an interest in it. So 99 times out of 100, it's got to be a positive experience, right?
Absolutely. You know, I actually should backtrack. A few things have changed in this industry. There's been a big regulation on recreational edibles.
Okay.
That has definitely changed, and that's changed for the positive, I would say. No longer can you purchase an edible that exceeds 100 milligrams on the rec side.
Ah.
And each piece is dosed into 10 milligrams, at which the government deemed as like a regulated dose and a good starting place.
Sure.
And so people aren't freaking out anymore by overeating an edible. Right. And that's not a good experience. Yeah. I've been there before.
It was like a columnist from the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or something was like locked into her bed because she ate almost the entire chocolate bar.
Because she didn't wait the proper amount of time,
yeah.
You know, and that article really did a little damage to our industry. But at the same time, it shed light on the fact that people don't know how to consume.
Right.
So, you know, 10 milligrams, you might be great at 10 milligrams where I might be great at 40 milligrams.
Right.
But, you know, starting at 10 to see how you do with it, giving it a good hour, hour and a half,
yeah.
And then going from there, you're kind of ensuring yourself to have the experience that you're looking for and not be pushed over the edge.
And a bud tender will walk you through that, right?
Most bud tenders will walk you through it. You know, to the world out there, I would definitely say ask a lot of questions if you don't know. You know, these bud tenders, this is their job. They're standing behind the counter, so they might not know to tell you something.
Right.
So ask, you know, say like, how much of this am I supposed to eat? How long do I wait? Ask these kind of questions and also really get into like what you're looking to achieve, what kind of activity you're looking to do.
Right.
So you're put into the right product line. Cause you know, you could eat, a product that has canna butter in it and it's going to make you feel pretty heavy.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're going for a hike, that might not be the way you want to feel.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny. I don't have a lot of experience with this, but I went into a dispensary and he was sort of asking me, you know, what I was interested in. And he said, you know, we have some sativas that, you know, are like, you know, you'll feel energized and creative and it'll get your brain going. And I go, that's like the opposite of what I want because I'm on the go constantly. And I have a hard time winding down at the end of the day. And he goes, okay, well, you're going to want to go to the indica side. And I go, okay, describe that to me. And he did that. So I remember when we were talking to set this up, you mentioned that a lot of what you do when people come in, like when they get into your car, is sort of an educational piece. Can you talk me through that a little bit?
So this is so new. And I think that in order for people to have a very positive experience with the plant, you have to be educated. And basically, I like to ask people what kind of effect they enjoy achieving to start off with. A lot of people don't know. That's interesting, you know, when you think about that, because they buy what they can get at this point. And right. that has been a culture that has existed for a long time. You know, you go see your guy or your gal and right. you have maybe two options, maybe three, but you buy what you can get.
And is this, you know, what is this? Is this pencil shavings? Like, you know, like.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, I let them know that I talk them through indica, sativa, and hybrid. Okay. And, you know, we really get into that because like a very strong sativa can make you feel racy. So I hear a lot of people say to me, oh, I like the energized one. And I'm like, oh, so do you like to feel like you've had three cups of espresso? And they're like, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, because it's confusing, you know, sure. A strain like Durban Poison, which is 100% sativa. Is
what is it called?
Durban Poison.
That doesn't sound like anything anyone would want to consume. It's an odd branding choice hearing it for the first time.
You know, I mean, they're the names that come out about strains. They're slightly like terrifying, like Death Star, Durban Poison. Jet fuel?
Yeah. Jet fuel. Jesus. I saw one. It was called Bruce Banner.
Oh.
And the name, I'm like, oh, Jesus. Am I going to turn into the Incredible Hulk? You know, like, and so, yeah, it's kind of frightening. But anyway, keep going.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So I want them to be educated. So some people do like that, like big boost to energy. But most people, when they say they like sativas, they like sativa-leaning hybrids, okay. Meaning they like an uplifting feeling, you know, something that's going to put a smile on their face sure. and get them going without making them feel racy inside, without sure. getting their heart rate going so quickly. Then I explain indicas. Indicas are like that nice body buzz. It gets you out of your head and into your body. I ask them, do you like that couch lock feeling or do you like something that's a little bit more functional that you can go move around but still have that relaxing feeling? Hmm. So, and then we have, you know, those 50-50 hybrids, which you feel in the head and the body. But we kind of get into what they're really looking for, either for the moment or for the rest of their trip.
Sure.
And then I let them know you want to smell the flower. If it smells good to you, typically it's good for your body chemistry. You know, so get your nose in there, like see what smells good. And be very descriptive with the bud tender. Let them know what effect you're trying to achieve, and they'll guide you into those proper strains.
Okay. So take me through when, like, let's say I'm coming into town, right? And I'm interested, I'm not interested so much in the business side or... You know, I don't have any medical ailments that I need to deal with. I'm just sort of your average rec guy, right? So, and let's say I book you to pick me up at the airport. Would you take me through what sort of an average tour would look like?
Basically, I'd collect all their information. I actually have a conversation with every single guest before they come to town.
Okay.
So, you know,
So you're like pre-vetting them. You're doing some due diligence.
Absolutely. I'm figuring out what they're expecting from this tour. So once they get here, there's nothing to think about.
Sure.
So they get in the vehicle, and then, you know, typically most of my tours start off with a grow tour and a dispensary stop, you know, getting this, the cannabis portion of the tour that kicked off, you know. I provide all my guests with a gift bag. It's a nice little gift bag to kind of get, it's a starter pack, right. I like to say. And
so, like, what's in the starter pack?
I pack a lot of non-medicated candy. I got savvy with that when I watched a guy sit next to me and eat an entire sleeve of cookies at the end of a trip. And I said, what the heck are you doing? And he said, I'm starving right now. Well, I know better. You got to pack some snacks.
Okay, good.
I pack a lighter, some rolling papers.
Sure.
And the City Sessions guidebook. It's basically a small book with all my affiliates in it that have provided discounts that my guests can enjoy at the dispensaries or local eateries. Right. And a bunch of stickers, because who doesn't love cannabis-related stickers?
Sure.
And then, that's kind of it.
Okay. So you've got your gift bag. You've got your snacks. You've got, you know, you've got your stickers, you've got your stuff. We go off to a grow house. And do you just kind of show them how it works then?
Yeah. So I have really nice affiliations with dispensaries and grows. And what's really nice is I get to know the staff. So when my guests come in, I introduce them. They get to know the staff as well. They get this like insider view. And then a staff member, whether it be a grower or a manager, will actually walk us through their facility and explain to us the process of what's going on and how they do it.
Cool.
They're very transparent. They answer every single question that's put their way. And you're allowed to take pictures throughout. So it's kind of cool to be able to like – be in a room with all these plants,
yeah,
you know, and kind of see this process and kind of dive into the regulations even further and actually see how it's being regulated on the back end.
Well, sure. And if you're flying into Colorado to experience cannabis culture, you probably are a little bit nerdy about it, like a little bit wonky. And I compare it to, I mean, I've been into craft beer now for a long time, and probably the best tour that you can take is at New Belgium. And New Belgium is great because it's like, okay, here's how we brew. You know, here's where we add the malt. Here's where we add the hops. And so if like weed is your thing, like that's a very similar type of experience.
Absolutely. And, you know, as this country continues to progress, people are interested in understanding how to grow. Because here in the state of Colorado, as residents, we're allowed to grow 6 plants from home recreationally.
Okay.
Which is great, you know, yeah. Like to have 6 plants and to understand that process. And, you know, all these people in these different states, they would like nothing more than to be able to grow 6 plants and sure. have a little supply of their own and figure out this process and what kind of lighting system and irrigation system is being used.
Right. You know, what's funny about that, I had a friend who was growing in his backyard a little bit and he had less than 6 plants. But what I failed to sort of understand or realize is just how fucking big these plants can get. And he showed me, he's like, yeah, these are our weed plants. And they were like as tall as we were. And I didn't know that. I thought that was amazing.
So there's different ways to grow. And when you grow outside, you're able to, you know, grow big plants.
Sure.
But a lot of these facilities that are growing indoors, most plants in Colorado are grown indoors. You know, we had a wholesale market that just got eaten up really quickly. But you have to grow short.
Okay.
Typically, you have to grow short. There's not enough space to grow these gigantic plants.
Right.
So they're cutting down the cycle and for each stage. So they're able to grow shorter. And then they're also doing a process called trellising a lot of the time, where they actually manipulate the plant through a trellis system. Mm-hmm. So it's a spread out canopy instead of growing up.
Okay. Here's kind of a weird question. There's a stereotype about weed people, you know, that they're a little earthier, you know, sometimes on the hippier side. And the way you're describing sort of modifying cannabis plants and hybrids and, you know, indica sativa hybrids, are people ever weird about them being like GMOs or like genetically modified? Do you ever get that?
No, because when you breed plants, I mean, it's a female plant and a male plant.
Right.
You know, the female is being pollinated. That's actually what is happening here. Okay. So it's not actually, I mean, I guess it's being modified in a way, but it's like breeding dogs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you have two different types of dogs that breed together and you get another one. And, you know, no one gets sick from smoking weed.
Right.
You know, I mean, even if you're smoking the dirtiest dirt weed that you can find, you don't typically get sick from smoking weed. The only thing that I've seen happen is there's the last process when in the grow stage is called flushing.
Okay.
And it's actually when you you put just straight water through the cannabis plant instead of nutrients to flush out all those nutrients. And, you know, sometimes those nutrients will like burn the back of your throat if you've ever smoked weed that like crackles, you know what right. I mean? And then it may give you a headache, but you know, you're not going to die.
Right. That seems pretty far-fetched. So, okay. So you go through the grow house, and then what happens next?
So then next we actually go shop at the dispensary that the grow is associated with. So it's really cool to be able to see these plants and then go actually buy the product that you just saw, sure, yeah. You know? While we're in the dispensary, I like to introduce people to the product lines as well. You know, the edibles. I mean, we have everything from elixirs, chocolates, hard candies, granolas. And then, you know, we have this full like medicinal line that I'm a big fan of, Mary's Medicinals. She makes transdermal patches.
Wow.
Yeah, I will tell you that it's a goal to get at least every single person to buy a patch because they're the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Really?
Yeah.
What makes them so great?
You know, it's like a nicotine patch. You actually apply it right to the skin. I usually put mine like right above the wrist crease.
Uh-huh.
And it's 12 hours of medicine. And they come in different cannabinoid profiles. So you have your basic sativa and indica. And then you have a ratio 1-to-1 CBD to THC.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar with CBD?
No.
CBD is a non-psychoactive cannabinoid that's found in the marijuana plant. It's the second largest to what we're all familiar with, THC.
Sure.
And CBD helps with symptoms of Parkinson's, epilepsy, inflammation, and pain relief.
Wow.
And used in conjunction with THC, it actually increases the benefits of CBD. And the two balance each other out. So the CBD is going to relax the body. The THC is going to elevate the mood. So that combination is something that I call a happy patch combination.
Sure.
It's like it keeps you balanced all day long. It's just it's like a guaranteed good day.
Wow.
Like body and mind.
Wow.
Yep. And then they also come in just straight CBD, so completely non-psychoactive, a cannabinoid called CBN, which helps with neurodegenerative disorders and insomnia, and then THCA, which is THC in acid form.
Okay. Wow. Did I also see THC-infused, like, personal lubricant?
Oh, you did see that.
Okay.
I personally have not experienced that.
Okay.
But when I was at the dispensary, I was looking at a display, and they were sold out.
Wow.
So it is definitely popular, and what I've heard is that it really works for some people, and it really doesn't work for other people. So
yeah, super hit or miss, huh?
Yeah, super hit or miss.
Okay, so here's another regulation question. You take people to go shopping, right? Mm-hmm. But as I understand the law currently, the only place you can legally consume or at least smoke, I mean, if you're eating like a cookie or a gummy bear or something, who's going to know, right? I mean, that's sort of discretion. We're adults. It's a person eating a gummy bear. You're not going to shake them down for that. But if you're smoking a joint or, out of a bong or something, it's only legal to smoke in your home.
That's correct.
Right? So, I mean, how does that impact the tours that you give?
So, public consumption with all methods of cannabis is illegal in public.
Okay.
You're 100% right. Discretion, because no one knows what you're getting yourself into with a cookie.
Right.
With that being said, we have a full concentrate line that rolled out with oils, wax, shatter, butter, and live resin. All these different concentrates are basically, you smoke them out of a pen or something called a rig. I like to say that it kind of makes it acceptable to smoke in public because people don't know what you're consuming.
Is it similar to like an e-cigarette?
It's very similar to an e-cigarette.
Okay.
We have these sleek pens on the market that have an oil cartridge that you screw into. There's no button. All you do is inhale.
Oh, wow.
Yep, and you get a full hit. So this is kind of the way that people are getting around this whole not being able to consume in public, which is a really big problem here in Colorado because all these people are coming in, a lot of my guests specifically, to explore legal cannabis, and there's nowhere for them to consume.
Right.
In addition, though.
At least lawfully.
So there are a few cool hotels out there in the market, but I also rent vaporizers to my guests for them to consume in the room because, again, they're not putting off a lot of smell.
Right.
So here in the office, you'll see this volcano.
Okay.
It's it's a volcano. It's the greatest smoking device of all time.
Okay. I'll get a photo of it. It'll go on the blog.
I actually rent this out to my guests, and then they can actually take their flower, and I give them a full tutorial on how to use this.
Yeah.
You actually smoke out of a bag, this right here.
Okay. Whoa, Jesus.
You actually smoke out of a bag, but it's a very clean high and it allows them to smoke and eat with comfort and ease.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and not to sort of let you or the industry off the hook here, but if you're coming to Colorado to experience cannabis culture, you've probably done the risk calculus in your head. I mean, you're an adult. I was out on East Colfax recently. It doesn't matter why, but I walked by these two guys standing outside a laundromat, clearly smoking a joint, just like between the two of them, just very, very sort of nonchalantly. And I go, okay, those guys have either done the risk calculus or just plain don't give a shit. And so, I mean, I would expect there's some people who go, you know what, there's a risk here. There's no legal place to consume, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Absolutely. And, you know, no one's looking for you really here. You know, we have a very good thing going on. And I think that people are very aware of their surroundings. You know, make sure that kids aren't around. Make sure you're not in like a very populated area where you're going to offend people.
Right.
You know, but when you're outside and it's open air, I'm pretty sure people do feel very comfortable.
Sure.
Knowing that, you know, they're not being sniffed out, really. Right. In all fairness, you know, like that show Cops is probably going to go away because it was just like cops seeking out people that were smoking weed,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, unless it was a domestic violence call. You're right. But yeah, I mean, I guess the lesson here is as long as you're not some garish dipshit who is out sort of being obnoxious about it, just, you know, be discreet, like handle your business and it'll probably be okay.
Yeah. And you know, like when my guests are touring around with me, I have so many different options for them to sample and consume, you know, the oil vape pen, a concentrate vape pen, you know, to get them into what it's like to smoke a wax or a shatter. And then, you know, the PAX by Plume, it's a top of the line, handheld flower vaporizer.
Right.
It's also a really cool device. It looks like it's like iPhone quality, you know.
Wow.
And it's also great. You know, it doesn't put off any smell, so it's very discreet and allows you to kind of consume along the way as well.
You know, one thing we didn't talk about, and it's fascinating learning more about this culture because I'm not really in it. I'm just interested because culturally it's so prevalent here in Colorado that I love learning more about it because I think everyone is learning more about it as we go here. And it's fun to sort of be on the forefront of that. What I didn't ask you is how did you get into it in the first place? How did you come up with the idea for the business? What compelled you to start doing tours?
Very good question. So I've always had this entrepreneurial spirit and I've always been an ideas person. And I've never really been into alcohol, but cannabis has always spoken to me. I started consuming when I was 16. I'm from a very liberal family. And when I moved to Colorado 7 years, it was not legal.
Right.
And the culture was still very open to it. I mean, I would meet people and they'd gift me bags of weed.
Okay.
And I was like, this is the coolest place ever. You know?
Interesting.
And, you know, I was working as a small business consultant in downtown Denver, and I had obtained a medical card because I experienced migraines. And I was going and I was purchasing my medicine, if you would say. And I was getting introduced to all these different product lines that were rolling out, and I was really getting excited about everything. It was so new and it was so exciting, and the products were great. And recreational marijuana passed, and I walked into the dispensary I was a member of, and I had a conversation with the bud tender, and I was like, I need to get out of my job and into this industry. What are you thinking? And he said, marijuana tourism. And I ran with it, kind of like I made it to Colorado. It just like it felt right.
Yeah.
I took myself to the National Marijuana Business Conference in Seattle. I got myself an education. I came back and I wrote a business plan. And then I kind of freaked out.
Sure.
I got really scared. I wrote a business plan to do like these big bus tours. And I had come out with the guide. In the first year of the guidebook, I partnered with 50 local businesses.
Holy shit.
Which allowed me to really get to know the Denver business community and the Denver marijuana community. And I went out of town for 2 weeks. I skipped town. And I got a phone call 2 days before I was supposed to return from a gentleman who actually had an up-and-running cannabis tour company. And he had read a blog article that I wrote about a grow house tour that I went on.
Yeah.
And he's like, I would like to meet with you. I want to understand what you're doing here. And I looked at him and I said, he said, what are your intentions? And I said, well, I think I'm going to start running tours out of my Honda CRV. And he said, okay. And a few days later, he referred me business. And I got started with like this private tour sector. He was doing the public big buses.
Yeah.
But you know, the interesting thing about all this was I was an anthropology major growing up in university. And when I graduated, I thought I got a degree in BS.
Right.
It turns out like I actually, I'm actually applying my degree, you know, I'm introducing people from around the country and world to this new legal cannabis culture, the city of Denver, the state of Colorado. And we are here in Colorado establishing what cannabis culture looks like.
Yeah.
And that is really cool.
Yeah, that's fascinating. When I spoke to Jake Brown, who writes for The Cannabist for the Denver Post, he viewed sort of his role in this whole cannabis culture as he does a lot of QAQC. So he does a lot of strain reviews. And so you can go on their site and search for whatever, Bruce Banner, and or, you know, Sour Diesel or whatever. He writes, like, here's what you can expect. Here's what it's supposed to look like. You know, here's what I paid for it. And it'll give you an overview of sort of what to expect, which I think is an important role. One of the things that he said that I found interesting was that there are, while this culture is evolving, there are people who got into the industry just because they really liked weed, but had no, like, no knowledge of how to run a business or, you know, like, meet payroll or scale up to commercial production. Since you've been in this for a year and a half, have you experienced that at all?
Absolutely. I'm a hard critic because I'm in and out of these places all the time. But this year is going to be a big year for the industry. A lot of people are going to get weeded out, no pun intended. But we have finally arrived to a place where the business needs to get fine-tuned and people are going to take their business to the next level. Mm-hmm. And yeah, a lot of people got in. You know, like I said, they were growing in their basements and they thought that they could scale this up to a commercial place without a business plan or business knowledge, you know. And another big thing that happened in this industry was it passed and people scaled very quickly and they had major foundational issues.
Sure.
You know, their grows weren't speaking to their dispensaries, which weren't speaking to their money people. And it's definitely caused an issue within some of these places. And yeah, you're going to see a lot of the ones that aren't as professional kind of fall off. And the ones that are really dialed into scaling and quality and their demographic, they're going to thrive. Absolutely. So yeah, Jake's right. A lot of people got in because they really enjoyed cannabis, but they couldn't make it. And
okay. Yeah, they have no experience running a business. He got a product to review, and if memory serves, it was like a sour apple sucker. They just gave it to him in a Ziploc bag with a business card in it. And you go, wow, that's super professional. none of this shit is branded. Like, he's like, that's what I got. And he goes, it was good. He's like, it was a really, you know, it was a nice product. But I go, come on, we can do better than this.
Absolutely. And, you know, I will say that with all the regulations that have rolled out, you know, childproof packaging, dosing, you know, how much you can actually purchase at one time. It's definitely taken the industry to the next level. And now I just read a recent article about branding, and branding is becoming big in the cannabis industry, dialing in brands, making sure that they're speaking to the demographic that they're supposed to speak to. You know, you're right. At first, a lot of this was tie-dye and Ziploc baggies.
Yeah. Yeah. You're either like an old hippie, like Grateful Dead style, or you're like maybe in the hip hop community.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what we have all learned is, just like I said before, marijuana doesn't discriminate.
Right.
I see people from 21 to 80 years old, all different walks of life, you know, from all different states, you know, Midwesterners, Northern people, Southern people, everyone. Everyone consumes cannabis. Not, I shouldn't say everyone in the world, but everyone, like, there are people.
But you've got a sampling from every single, like, subgroup that you can imagine.
It exists everywhere. That's what I should say, you know? And, that's kind of exciting.
Yeah, you know, shit, I'll give you an example. The meeting that I was at before I came to meet you ran a little bit long, and so I was late, which I felt bad about. I was talking to him, and he's a guy I've known for, like, 10 years. He's pretty well known, like, in the political community, and like a really good dude, and in his 60s and stuff. And he was telling me this story about how he was somewhere else, and he ran into his bud tenders who didn't know him by name but knew him by strain. I didn't even know he smoked, and he tells me this story. And he walks in, and they spot him, and they go, "Hey, Mr. Twista," or like whatever his strain was called. It was something goofy like that. And he goes, "Yep, that's me." So he's like, I sat down and I just chatted with those guys. And you're right. I now that I think about it, it's not terribly surprising, but it was at the time when he told me that. I'm like, I never would have known. But the culture is still kind of in the shadows. I would say it's emerging, especially here in Colorado, where everyone's sort of like, yeah, I don't think this is a big deal. I do it, whatever. question for you, though, is you mentioned the regulations have come a long way and we're getting dialed in with dosing and labeling and on and on and on. Are there holes that still exist? Like, and what if someone put it to you, like, what do we need to either eliminate or what do we need to add to make marijuana regulations the best that they can be in Colorado?
So I know that there's conversation about new regulations rolling out with edibles and how many you can purchase.
Okay.
And I don't particularly love the what they're talking about right now, and I don't necessarily think that we have to get into it so much. But, you know, this industry has been regulated to a point right now, and it's working.
Okay.
And it's working well for the people of Colorado and the people that come in. What I do think is missing here is public consumption.
Okay.
I do think it's a really big problem to not be able to go out and enjoy a substance like cannabis when you can go out and enjoy an alcoholic beverage, you know?
Gin.
Or you can go have a coffee and get a nice caffeine energy boost.
Right.
You know, I think that as we educate our population about responsible consumption. And we had a great campaign come out here in Colorado called Good to Know, which did educate our population. I don't think this harms anyone. And I think that the state of Colorado has really figured out that this plant's not harming anyone. People aren't getting in fights, smoking, getting in fights, right. You know, like this stuff isn't happening. So I think that the big missing link here would be public consumption and figuring out what that looks like to be able to go to a place and consume. And, you know, this plant is so nice. It brings people together. It starts a dialogue. It brings different generations together. And there's something very nice about that. And there should be a place that people can come together and consume and start a dialogue and relate to one another, even if, you know, this person's a senior and this person's, you know, like mid-20s, you know, it will bring them together. That J or that blunt or bong will get passed to the next person, and it's connecting.
Huh. As you look at public consumption, what do you think, just this, and this is just Goldie's opinion here, mm-hmm. what do you think is the ideal model? Is it something like Amsterdam with, you know, hash bars, or, you know, with alcohol, there's places where you can consume, you know, there's bars, there's restaurants, but you can't drink walking down the street unless you have a special permit or like a festival permit. In your estimation, what does that look like for cannabis?
You know, I don't think that you'll ever be able to consume alcohol and cannabis in the same place.
Okay.
And I don't actually think it's necessary to consume in the same place. You know, right. It's kind of a dangerous combination when it's overdone.
Yeah.
But I love the coffee shop concept. There's nothing better than to be able to go get a cup of coffee and a panini and smoke a J and have a conversation or read a magazine.
Right.
You know, I hope that eventually you would be able to dispense at like a coffee shop. So, you know, you could pick up your J and your coffee in the same right. space. Colorado has regulated it so that you can only purchase cannabis from a dispensary. And, you know, that is working for us. You know, in terms of the business model, I don't know how you actually make money from like a coffee shop that doesn't dispense cannabis, you know, and it's just a coffee shop.
Right. But yeah. Oh, I get what you're saying. But you can like, if it were okay to bring in your sort of own yeah. product. Yeah, I follow you.
Bring your own cannabis. I mean, at least to start off with, I think that that would make most sense. And there's a couple different business models that would make sense. We have a cool hat shop here in Denver called Grassroots California. Hmm. And they had a membership-based dab bar in the back of their hat shop. And it got shut down last 420. Huh. And they moved locations and that doesn't exist anymore. But it was really nice to be able to, you know, pay a $10 membership and come in for the next 3 days. They had all the paraphernalia there. It was bring your own cannabis. And you got to sit down and consume, and then, you know, people would probably hang out anywhere from like a half an hour to a couple hours and then be on their way, you know, in the city, walking around and enjoying the city,
right.
You know, a little bit elevated, you know, that was a cool concept too. So, you know, I would love coffee shops to come around, you know, and have a place where people can come together and enjoy the product.
Yeah. I think that's a nice note to end on. So This is the part in the show where you plug whatever you want to plug. So where can people find you? Where can they find out more about booking a tour with you? Anything you want to plug, now's the time to do it.
All right. So we have a website. It's citysessionsdenver.com. You can learn about all of our different tour offerings there, as well as our lodging options. And you can also tune into our City Sessions YouTube channel that's getting ready to roll out. I'm co-hosting it with a great girl named Sarah, who I would say is the best budtender in the city.
Cool.
And she's actually going to start running tours for me. And that's just going to be an opportunity to tune into the session. Smoke whatever product you have on your end. We'll be consuming on our end and talking about cannabis culture and doing some product reviews and interviewing. And then we also have a Facebook page, citysessionsdenver.com, and an Instagram. It's citysessionsden. So, yeah, those are all the places that you can find us. And, yeah.
Fantastic, Goldie. Well, this was enormously enlightening for me and just a terribly fascinating interview. So I really appreciate you taking the time to do it.
Absolutely, John. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, continued success to you.
And that wraps up episode 85 of the John of All Trades podcast. Thank you for listening, and thank you to Goldie Soledar, the knower at City Sessions Denver. Check them out, citysessionsdenver.com, and book your custom cannabis tour today. If that is your thing, if that's what you want to do, there's no better way to do it than with her company. I'm convinced of that, and I can't thank her enough for teaching me a lot about cannabis culture, cannabis regulations, you know, all things pot. Just a fantastic time. We'll be back here next week with a brand new episode of the John of All Trades podcast. It is with, and I don't normally do this in the outro of the episodes, but next week's episode is These Things Matter. Kevin O'Brien, Taylor Gonda, I was a guest on their show. Be sure to check that out. I'll link to it in next week's blog. But they're coming up, and we talk about what it is to host a podcast. It's a very meta episode. It's a lot of fun. We have a lot of laughs. They're just two enormously talented and bright and fun people. So that's what's coming up next week. And until then, say goodnight, Gracie.
That's good, Johnny.